Yeah, it certainly was. And they got, you know, compared to the earlier Apollo 11 cameras, we had a very, very fine camera. And not only was it used to follow us around on the surface, but it also was used to by the geologists and the science team to pan around, and sometimes they would see something that they were interested in, and they would change the flight plan based on what they saw on the TV to go do a sample of a special sample or things like that.
So
well, we had determined in training that we could probably, with the oxygen supply and the cooling water supply that we had, we could probably jog 4 miles up on the moon or so. So our radius of action with the rover was basically limited on what we felt like we could walk back. So the second 30 VAs were designed such that you would drive to your maximum distance and right away, and then you start working your way back. So that if you had a problem with the rover at the maximum distance, you still had enough oxygen and cooling water and electrical power so that you could jog back to the command module. I mean, and you know, it would probably been, we did all this training and this running and jogging, I should say, it wasn't running, you know, down near 1G. John and I felt like we could do 4 miles, maybe five. In fact, I was probably, you know, in the suit, we probably jogged 5 to 4 miles in training at one time to see if we could do it. It turned out to be a lot rougher than our training scenario. I'm not sure we could have done it that time, but the rover went fine, so we were able to put that to the test. Well, the only thing you didn't want to do is drive in a real deep crater. And the walls were, and some of those craters that were 100 feet deep, were, the walls were real steep. The capacity of the rover was it could climb a 25 degree slope. And we climbed, up Stone Mountain, which was to the south, on the second day. And that was the steepest slope, and we felt very comfortable going up slope. As we knew, we turned it down and started going down slope, it was really steep. It felt like you were going to fall out the front of the car type feeling. Of course, you were strapped in, you weren't, but that was the feeling. It was so steep that you didn't have a seatbelt, you would slip right off the front end of the car. Yeah, right. Right, yeah, we're about 300 or 400 feet up. That's true. We had a lot of problems, but nothing that was life-threatening or what I'd call a showstopper. We almost aborted, we almost had a problem before landing and would have aborted our landing, but they were able to fix it, and so that delay, that caused us to be a 6-hour delay, but we still got to land. we didn't feel like on the lunar surface the rover ever was a life-threatening, it would ever present us with a life-threatening situation. Well, it did feel very stable. I mean, you didn't ever feel like it's going to turn over, but it was squirrely. The steering was sensitive, and you're sitting there and you're bouncing along, and my elbow would hit John's elbow, which would cause him to push the T handle, the steering system, and so. And then the thing tended to what I would call fishtail. It was like driving on ice with rear wheel drive. And the back end kept wanting to fishtail. We actually spun out one time. We sort of slid into a crater and spun. Rear end came right, and we ended up about 180 degree slide. But you never, doing even that, you never felt like you. So I think it was as far as rollover, it was very stable, but as far as the feeling of the, it was, I wouldn't call it squirrely from a bad design, but it was just like it was on ice, fishtail. Well, I don't know. The wheels were made out of wire, and they just really dug into the surface. And I mean, it had to be pretty good to climb a 25 degree slope. Okay, so I wouldn't say that. It was just the way that you know, you're bouncing and you can't hold your hands steady. You didn't have two hands on a steering wheel. You had one hand on a controller, and you were bouncing along, and your hands moving back and forth, and it was sort of a rocky ride, and so as you tried to turn, the back end kept slipping, and so it was just like a very sensitive. Yeah. In a straight line. Well, of course, probably one of the most significant places we went was the third day was up the North Ray Crater, which was 4.5 miles away, and there were some significant geological areas up there. We had a place called House Rock, as a huge boulder, just looking across into North Ray Crater, you can see some layering of outcrop of rock, which was not basement rock, but it was rock was 30, 40, 50, 60 feet down, and so all of that was a very significant issue. And, you know, none of that, the rover, it was like 400 yards versus 4 miles, 5 miles. The rover just extended the radius of operation 10 to 15 times. That was Apollo 12. That's what they came up with, yeah. Yeah, if those dates are correct, I'm not so sure they are anymore, but don't put that in your article.
Okay. Well, I'm
I'm a creationist also, and I believe that I don't think it has to
be
off the record, but the dating of the rocks is really based on some assumptions that we can't verify, and the assumptions, you change the age of the rocks. I frankly believe that the Earth is very young. Now, I can't faith that God's word is more powerful and accurate than man's fallible theories that seem to change every few years. Anyway, it was a fascinating experience. John and I had a great time. Yeah. Well, as an aside, I think we feel like we set the speed record on Apollo 16. We made it up to 11 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And just a little things like that. Drove the rover 25 kilometers. And it was just a fun experience. Well, there were six riders. The three drivers, I don't know about the other missions, but I never really drove. John was John was the driver. I was the navigator and, as I said, travel guide, picture taker, and stuff like that. Sure. I could drive. I'm left-handed, and so I sit on the right side, and it made it real easy for me to drive. And so we trained that I could drive if I had to, but the only time I really drove was when I bumped his elbow. And John kept saying, "Stop bumping me, Charlie." And we did tail off somewhere when I did that.
Well, I've also got
like
an interview
with
Good.
Last I heard, Dave Scott was living in England.
Yeah.
But I haven't I haven't talked to him in years. I saw Jack Schmidt back in January. I know it was December for our 30th anniversary of the end of Apollo. He has an email, but I don't recall exactly what it is. But if you've got a letter at NASA address, last time I looked, I think it was current. I think he lives in Albuquerque.
Yeah, I
can
find him
in Well, if you talk to Cernan, they're good friends. He could probably help you out. Good. That'd be fine. Okay. Okay. God bless you.
Thank you.
Bye.